She has won.
Finale du tournoi féminin tennis en fauteuil Roland-Garros 2024.
Confirming it is the final of the women's wheelchair singles. And it'll be Xu Zhanzhen from China. Looking to become only the first player since Li Na outside of the juniors to win a Grand Slam title.
Elle a remporté 21 titres en simple dans sa carrière. Elle était demi-finaliste à l'Open d'Australie 2020. Elle représente la République populaire de Chine, Zhenzhen Zhu.
And as you heard there, this is her first Grand Slam final. Semi-final previous best to this. She is in good form. She is playing well. But the task is monumental. Xu Zhanzhen, who's just getting herself sorted, having made her way out, on to Philippe Chatry, taking the side to the left of the umpire's chair, if you were behind it, closest to the entrance to the court. Now to her opponent.
Et elle se repose à la numéro 1 mondiale, qui a remporté 21 titres en Grand Chelem dans sa carrière, la néerlandaise Dine.
It's crazy, the stats that are already beside Dida De Groot's name. She is the player to beat, not actually the number one pairing with Anik van Coot in the doubles, second seeded there, but when it comes to the singles, she is the player to beat every time she comes out onto the court. It's a formidable task. I nearly leapt as I turned around. There was something sniffing at my leg, and it was a dog. Wow, God, that actually made me jump.
Well, I'm glad it wasn't Marcus.
Marcus is alongside me, but he's ill, so we have low-key Marcus in the middle, and Eleanor, who now has a dog, was that genuinely made me jump.
I know. I was watching the dog approach you, watching you give a wonderful introduction to this incredible final today, and I was also watching the dog stealthily approaching and thinking, this is going to be funny.
Started sniffing me, and I thought, hang on a second, something doesn't feel quite right. But Eleanor, Marcus, good morning. How are you? This is day 14, finals weekend.
Very exciting. Lovely to have. This is Nepia, the dog, I believe.
It is Nepia.
We met Nepia's friend yesterday, Todd.
Todd's also a dog.
Hang on. Yeah. Todd? Who's
two
Todd?
Dogs. Two dogs.
I think I saw Todd lying out there yesterday.
Todd is like a sort of golden Labrador.
Oh, yes, I've seen Todd.
And Nepia is a flat-haired retriever, black, with a very beautiful face.
And you're quite right about the figures surrounding De Groot. I mean, these are ridiculous. A 25th Grand Slam final. She's looking to extend a 47-match Grand Slam winning streak. She compiled a 145-match tour-level winning streak, which ended recently. And, of course, she won the Gold Slam in 21, the Grand Slam in 22 and 23. She is phenomenal.
Oh, she truly is phenomenal. Right, let's get the housekeeping sorted out. Xu is just sorting out the towels, getting the bits and pieces in place. I think she's ready. She's got the racket, right? She's going to head to the center. Dida De Groot is waiting. We have the mascots in place. We have the sun shining. We have the crowd in the lower stands of Philippe Chatrier. Right, here we go.
So ladies, six ball in play, bunch of 7-9, 25 seconds between points, shot clock on the screen. Towel boxes, we have orange or blue, so orange for you, Daide?
And blue for you. Anthony Bellier-Deligny of France.
Well, this is ball or player? Zhenzhen?
Ball.
Ball? Player.
So Dida De Groot won the toss, elected to receive, and Xu decided to stay where she is, and that is the side with the presidential tribune just behind it. Oh, we've got the photo. Hang on a second. No, hang on, the mascots are going, right? Everyone's dispersed. It's that moment when... Right, okay, so we're just going to get the photo. Oh, look at this. I have a dog's paw resting on my shoe. It's all very civilised in our commentary box this morning.
It's rather a lovely touch. Another lovely touch, I think, is the fact that mascots today are, of course, also wheelchair users, which to me is a reminder of what incredible role models all of these players are. All of these players in all the draws are, from juniors to doubles to all of the wheelchair players, the quad players, of course, as well. But to have the experience of being able to come out here on Court Philippe Chatrier for a final and to see players who look like you do, who have some of the same issues that you do, and to see what they can achieve, what can be done. Well, it's an extraordinary inspirational story, isn't it?
We have 12 finals taking place today. Also on court at the moment, we have the girls' singles final. That's the first time a Grand Slam final has been between two Czech girls. It's the 12th seed and the third seed out there. On court 14, we have the wheelchair men singles final. Gustavo Fernandez, who came through against last year's finalist Alfie Hewitt, take on Takedo Oda, the second seed and also the defending champion. Then on court 13, we got a repeat of the Australian Open final in the quad wheelchair singles final. Guy Sasson of Israel take on Sam Schroeder from the Netherlands. Schroeder is the second seed. So we're going to keep you across everything. We've also got a mixed legends doubles taking place on court Susan Longlands. So there's plenty of action around, but our focus will be here on Philippe Chatrier.
Well, our focus is here on Philippe Chatrier, but we're a little, perturbed, because you're a coach and your player is playing in that Legends match. Daniela Handshakova, why are you not courtside?
It's a little bit like Coco Gauff said, you know, sometimes I come to tournaments with my family, coach, sometimes I'm on my own. I feel that Daniela is of an age now and she has a partner, because it's mixed, that she has that support. We've gone through the game plan, stayed up late last night, had a very early meeting to discuss tactics against Tatiana Golova and Sebastian Grosjean. I have ultimate faith that Cedric Pierlin will be the perfect partner to Daniela, and that I will keep my winning record as a coach intact. It was 1-0, then I got fired, I got rehired. It's now 2-0, and I think we're going for the hat trick this morning.
Yes, that could happen. Or you could get fired again. She doesn't win.
But if I get fired again, it's not the worst thing in the world. I think the friendship will still be there. I have a little bit more time. It's quite intense and a little bit scary. Being a coach is all that I've discovered.
The thing is, that, Daniela Handshakova, given that all she's achieved, doesn't make her any less competitive.
No, missing one training session in Australia at 7 o'clock in the morning, I was then brutally and ruthlessly fired.
Quite right.
Only to be rehired in the latter stages of the tournament. So, yes, she's fine. She's going to be okay on Susan Longland while we watch. And as you say, it's wonderful that we get these finals on these courts, some of the largest stadium in the world. They've allowed the public in, so they're filling up the lower bowl, which is normally the corporate boxes. We had it remarked in the mixed doubles final, but Laura Sigmund said, this crowd is incredible. And already, Eleanor, you can see that the lower part of Philippe Chatrier is full.
And I think that's a great idea. It's a great initiative from the organisers to have that flexibility, because it means the players look around and immediately in their eye line, you can see faces, you can see people. So it already we can hear them starting to create an atmosphere. I think they will cheer these players on. Remember that this is, to some degree, a prelude to the Paralympic Games, which will be happening sort of late August, early September. And these players will be certainly medal hopefuls. I think in De Groot's case, a medal favourite, nailed on, covered in ribbons.
Yeah, it's simply astonishing how she plays the match. It's incredible how we've seen the tournament and the level develop. So in terms of Marcus, the rules and differences, they are allowed two bounces. But at this level, they rarely need or use or take the second bounce.
Absolutely. And I mean, unless you've actually sat in one of those chairs and attempted to do what these players do, I don't think you can fully appreciate the skill, the strength, the anticipation that is demanded. And one other thing that is just very noteworthy on a clay court in particular is the patterns that the chairs create. It's like some sort of, modern art. If you look, Eleanor, down at this near end where the baseline is, all the little crisscrosses, it's the sort of thing you'd see in the Tate Gallery or the Louvre or somewhere like that.
Yes, it's like this kind of... do you remember the game you used to have as a child? It's called Etch-a-Sketch.
Where you say knots and crosses.
No. Knots
and
crosses.
Snakes and ladders.
No, where you used to draw lines and you used to have, a sort of spiralizer, it was called. was in ancient times, Gigi. Don't look at me like that. I'm getting a frown of consternation.
Spiralizer.
But that's what it reminds me of.
Spiralizer is what you do with courgettes to make them into little twirly things.
Do you know what? We've got some amazing listeners. They've got a better memory than I have. And one of them will tell me what I'm talking
right,
about.
Look,
at radio_RG. Email FrenchOpenRadio@FFT. But these... Marcus is right. You can see the tracks of the wheels in the clay, and it gives you an idea of just how much they're moving.
Final's about to start. I brought blueberries for the team. We've got two finals to follow this, so enjoy it in the company of Marcus and Eleanor.
Thank you, Gigi. I'm just picturing Lady Eleanor in her childhood playing with her spiralizer all by herself for hours on end.
Do you know, now you say spiralizer, I'm sure that's not what it was called. I think Gigi's right. As much as it upsets me to say that, I think that was would be for fine slicing courgette, and that isn't what I mean.
Well, we'll try and resolve that issue, and if you can help us as to the exact use for a spiralizer, get in touch. It is the usual address, @radio_RG. @radio_RG, you can email us, FrenchOpenRadio@FFT.fr. As this final gets underway with the backhand that sails long off the racket of Dida de Groot.
See, I told you our listeners were very clever and remembered everything. Lisa, I'm forever indebted to you. Spirograph. Not a spiralizer. Spirograph. So something which draws multiple circles and spirals on the page. And that's what these players are going to be doing today. Quite often moving in a 360 motion all the way around in order to hit the ball.
There is nothing that our listeners do not know. That's why you're so near and dear to us, even if you're far, far away. Great to have your company once again. Penultimate day of Roland Garros 2024. That's a little bit sad, but so much to look forward to over the course of Saturday and Sunday with all these finals, starting with this one. And a little exchange at the net goes the way of Zhu, who, as Gigi mentioned, is attempting to become only the second Chinese player to win a Grand Slam title after Li Na, who picked up a couple. Left-hander, her first serve goes into the net. Heavy footsteps of quite a tall ball girl as she races across the court, picks up the ball, settles on the far side from the umpire's chair. And the second serve, oh, I thought that was going to be called long, but it's in play. Backhand cross court now to the forehand of Dida de Groot. Lots of slice on the backhand from Zhu. Now a powerful off forehand from de Groot, but Zhu is equal to that. She read it.
Well, we can talk a lot about de Groot and her 21 Grand Slam titles and her incredible record and her flawlessness at every level, really. Of course, winning the Golden Slam in 2021 in Tokyo, all four Grand Slams and a Paralympic medal. We can talk endlessly about what an incredible player she is. But Shenzhen Zhu is very capable of causing an upset here. It would cause shockwaves through the sport, but it's not beyond the realms of possibility by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, she started well. She's won the first 3 points. That last one with a forehand down the line, and now she's having to go across onto her backhand. High ball. Back goes de Groot. She's in the right place. Well, she was in the right place to crack a backhand across court, but she put it wide, and the underdog holds to love, and that'll settle her nerves. She's 34 years of age, Shenzhen Zhu, ranked 6th in the world, 28 career titles, still waiting for that first one at slam level, and her record in 2024 is 122 matches, lost 14, and you compare that with de Groot. I mean, I've already touched upon some of her stats. 27 years of age, number one ranking in the world, 87 singles titles. I think she's got something like 71 doubles titles as well. 21 of those singles titles at slam level. Her record at Roland Garros is 119, lost just 3, and her record in 2024 is 121, lost just 1.
Unbeaten at Grand Slam level since the 2021 Australian Open. You say it, and that's one thing. And then you start to process it, and what that means, and the level of consistency that you need to find. Well, it's extraordinary. And it is to bear in mind that Esther Vahir, who you and I will both remember, who is without question the greatest player of all time, that's who de Groot is chasing at this point. both came not just from the same country, actually the same town.
Extraordinary.
Also produced Jiska Griffinen, another incredible player.
Well, De Groot has claimed her first point of this final. The first five went the way of Zhen Zhenju, but her return just now was a fraction long. So De Groot is serving at love 115 all, and she's double faulting. So, as experienced as she is, as successful as she has been, there are clearly some early nerves. She goes in search of a fifth Roland Garros title. Serving to the forehand, and that's a very powerful cross-court return. De Groot couldn't get to it. This is a blistering start from the Chinese player. She's got a lime-coloured peaked hat. Whitish top. She's watching there as that first serve again from De Groot misses the mark. De Groot is in, well, I dare say, salmon pink. I'll probably be corrected by Lady Eleanor for that.
We'll go with salmon pink. It's a pale pastel colour. Peachy pink. Salmon pink.
Slice backhand down the middle of the court from De Groot. Now she's having to race across, lets the ball bounce a second time before playing a forehand cross-court winner. Made it look very easy.
Ju has a white dress, sleeveless, but the splash of neon colour is coming from her visor. She's got a bright yellow visor.
She still has a break point here at 30-40. First serve goes into the net. Actually, Ju went across to the wrong side just then for the return. But now she's ready. Second serve is to the forehand. Return down the middle of the court. Hooked forehand from De Groot. High ball down the middle again from the Chinese player. Now the angle is switched up by De Groot, but it was long. It was just long. And against all expectations, it is all Zhen Zhenju in the early stages of this contest.
Well, you know what the biggest win of Zhen Zhenju's career was? And it happened very early in her career. It was the 2020 Australian Open when she beat Dida De Groot in the quarterfinals. So the head-to-head record may be in the Dutch woman's favour, but Zhu knows how to beat her. And not many people do, as we've established.
Oh, they certainly don't.
I read an interview with De Groot recently where she was saying she was asked to assess, you know, what made her so difficult to beat. And she said, and she's very humble, she didn't mean this in any way, an arrogant way, but she said, I don't think I have many weaknesses. I think I'm just good at everything.
Sounds like you talking about your broadcasting. That's a great slice backhand winner from Ju.
I thought that was coming. I'll set him up, you put him away.
I mean, team dinner the other night, sitting there, saying well done, and Eleanor, of course, is the integral part of our team. Slice serve into the net. 2-love, 15-love. Shoot at this near end. We're in our familiar position on the fifth floor of the media centre, and we watch a backhand cross-court return, and that had a bit of sting to it.
Yeah, it's a high backhand return. And it reared up on Ju, as it will do on a clay court. It's, you know, anything that kicks on a clay court is going to be dangerous because his topspin is such a crucial part of this playing on this surface. But
the server's into the net. Apology then, as the toss-up is not to Zhu's liking. Three bounces of the ball. Again, doesn't like the toss-up, and that could become an issue. We were talking about British Junior earlier this week, Hannah Klugman, who's such a good player, but is getting the yips with that aspect of her game at the moment. Can happen to anybody. Slice backhand from De Groot, forehand deep, again to the backhand of the Dutch player. Then the forehand into the net from Ju.
Well, it's also a very, very bright, sunny day, which I'm pleased to say, here in Paris. Little bit of very, very wispy light cloud to our right, but otherwise blue skies overhead. So
you're talking about the weather again, Eleanor. I'm telling you.
I'm reporting the weather, not forecasting the weather. But I'm just saying, you know, in the sunlight, it adds a degree of difficulty.
Plenty of slice on that, sir, but it's a really good return. Deep to the backhand side of the left-handed server, and there are definite signs that Dida De Groot is just settling into this final now. She's got a couple of break-back points in this third game. Let's see if she can get a toss-up right on this occasion. That looks better, but the serve is into the net. Very heavy footsteps from ball girls today. They've just turned up the effects, Mike. I don't know, but it's quite noticeable. Forehand cross-court return to the backhand of Zhu. That was right on the baseline. Half volley sails long from De Groot. Excellent depth there from Zhen Zhen Zhu.
I have a theory about that. I think it's that we've sat here for a week and a half and we've heard the footsteps of the players. We've heard them running around the court, and you can hear the pitter-patter of feet, even when people are returning serve, pitter-patter of feet. And here, we're not hearing that movement from the players, so we are hearing it more acutely from the ball kids.
Excellent theory. Not a good first serve, though. It's long. She saved one break-back point, but still another one to deal with here at 30-40. Root waiting, leaning forward in her chair now, coming in as the serve goes to her backhand. Clips the tape, though. We'll have another second serve. A reminder, there's no electronic devices on the net. It's up to the umpire to detect any contact from the ball on the net. Now, the backhand cross court. Oh, just wide, by a fraction.
Right in the corner, wasn't it, of the service box and the tram line, but just skewed wide, because it would have been unreturnable. Zhu was never going to make that. I notice Zhu's got a very handy little pouch on the back of her chair, just behind the seating position to keep the balls in. A lot of players will also put the balls between the spokes of their wheelchairs.
First serve's good this time. The forehand return down the line is on the line, and there is nothing that Zhu can do about that.
It was almost casual from De Groot there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Just wafted back. But it was the positioning of it that was so dangerous. And she also hit it enough spin that it was always moving away from Zhu.
So a third breakback point in this third game of the final. First serve is wide. Well caught by a tall ball boy at the back of the court next to the Rolex clock. Second serve is... oh, it's long. Again, not by much, but it's a double fault. And De Groot is back on serve in this match. And that'll be hugely frustrating for Zhen Zhen Zhu, who began so well. Saved the first two breakback points there, but a double fault at a most inopportune moment means that they are level pegging after 12 minutes. And as Gigi was telling us, of course, other matches going on. Court Suzanne Longlin, Golovan Grosjean against Hanchikova, Pialin battle. 2-2 in the first set there. The girls' singles final on court, Simone Mathieu between Tereza Valentova, the 12th seed from the Czech Republic, and Laura Samson, who is the 3rd seed from the Czech Republic. Well, it's Valentova who's made the better start. She leads by 3-1. And on court 14, the men's wheelchair final between Gustavo Fernandez and Takita Oda, who I remember watching last year with you. That final was played on this court.
Yes.
And he was magnificent that day.
He was unstoppable, wasn't he, against Alfie Hewitt. And they had, even by that stage and even now, developed a little bit of a rivalry. But yeah, Oda was very much looking like the heir apparent to Shingo Kunieda, of course. Fantastic wheelchair player. Men's wheelchair player. So yes, Oda, I think, is very young, very, very talented and very good.
Well, he's the second seed. Fernandez is the 30s from Argentina. It's one apiece, but Oda has got 3 break points at 1-1, love 40. And the men's quad final is taking place on court 13. That's between Guy Sasson of Israel and Sam Schroeder, the number 2 seed from the Netherlands. And they are level at 1-1. But in fact, Schroeder has got 3 break points on the Sasson serve. We'll keep you up to date with all of those scores and results. And of course, if you go to the app or the official website, Everything is at your fingertips. The draws, the results, the previews, and us. As De Groot starts this fourth game, serving at 1-2 and waiting and playing a slice backhand low over the net. It bounces twice before coming back into play. And then De Groot lets the ball bounce twice as well before spitting it to the backhand side of her Chinese opponent. Another high ball down the middle now from De Groot. That was really awkward. It reared up at Zhu and there was simply nothing she could do about it.
No, hit her. An uncooperative bit of clay, I think, and just reared right up over her head, over the chair. Hit just far enough behind her that she couldn't reach back. Another missed first serve from De Groot.
And apologies if you hear me sniffing and blowing my nose every now and then. I know it's not a very pleasant sight, but a bit of a bug going about the place.
Poor Marcus is soldiering on, so listeners, we need to keep him going, keep him buoyed up.
Yeah, and you can imagine how much sympathy I've got.
He's being a very brave little soldier.
Oh, says Lady Eleanor, your man flew. It must be very difficult to deal with. But it is.
I think in comparison to the Empress, I was Florence Nightingale.
That's true.
The Empress was ruthless in her dismissal of Marcus's burgeoning symptoms.
She just said, keep away from me. That was it.
I mean, to be honest, she often says that.
Well, that's true. No excuses required in terms of health. OK, 1-2, 30-15. Slice backhand from De Groot. The slice, oh, clever. Off-slice forehand winner going back behind De Groot.
And you do tend to see a lot more slice in the wheelchair game for the very simple reason that they're lower to the ground than able-bodied players.
There's a slice backhand return, but that sails long. Again, it got up just a little higher than she wanted, and Zhu now behind her baseline is just practicing, I think, dealing with a higher ball. 40-30, and the first serve goes into the net. Listen to the footmarks, footsteps. She wasn't as loud then. You've let me down. Much softer. Turn down the middle of the court. It's making De Groot work hard on her backhand side. She's gone across to the backhand of the left-hander. And now she's there again with a really good-looking backhand cross-court on the stretch. Zhu got there just in time, but she won't get to that one. It's an off-forehand winner for De Groot, and having lost the first two games, she's won the next two. And after 17 minutes, we are level at two games apiece.
Well, and already the spirograph lines are absolutely all over the court. It looks like a ball of wool that's become untangled. So just these parallel track marks all over the clay, and you can just... It's an illustration of how much they move and how many circles a wheelchair tennis player has to make just in the course of one point, round and round and round, to get into position.
Zhu, two games all, serving to the forehand. Now she's going to send a deeper forehand through the middle of the court. Second bounce, similar shot. De Groot is there, now attacking the backhand. Slice backhand a little shorter. That'll be sliced down the line by De Groot on the stretch. Zhu keeps the point going, but she's in trouble now with the off forehand. Can she get there? Well, she stretches out her racket and does manage to make contact. And now she's in position to drive a ball down the line. It's exactly what she does.
Great resilience from Zhu there. She had to cover so much court. De Groot was really pulling her this way and that. And good anticipation from the Chinese player.
Yeah, that should give her real confidence. She went toe-to-toe with her illustrious opponent. Got the better of her. Now she's serving to the backhand. Little half volley on the backhand side from Zhu. Good depth again from her, but then she just gets herself into a little bit of a tangle as she tries to fire a backhand down the line.
Yes, and she's just shadow stroking with one hand, the other hand propelling the chair, and the racket arm just replaying that over and over, correcting what she feels she should have done right. I absolutely love De Groot's return position. She looks like she's on the start line for a Paralympic track race, doesn't she? Leaning right forward, ready to pounce.
Well, she sent a forehand return onto the forehand side of Zhu, who miscalculated, went long. And it's 15:30, and there are definite signs now that after the uncharacteristically slow start, Ida de Groot is moving through the gears and poised to take control of this final. The serve from Zhu is to the backhand, sliced across court from de Groot. Forehand is going down the line, but it's into the net from the Chinese player. More shadow swinging from her just inside the baseline. And then, as Elena mentioned, she reaches into the little pouch, picks up another ball, facing break points again at 15:40. First serve is long by a considerable distance. De Groot just backhands it to the other end of the court where it's picked up. Her apology over the toss-up, which has been a bit of an issue early on for Zhu. Second serve is to the back, and that was a really good serve. Off return, Zhu gets there. Deep to the sliced backhand of de Groot. In comes the forehand cross court from Zhu. High ball back across court. The volley, the backhand volley is into the net from Zhu. She was coming forward. I think she anticipated what was coming at her, but it was a really low dipping ball, and it was a very difficult backhand volley to execute. She couldn't do it.
Yeah, not necessarily the right choice of shot there. The backhand is much harder. Just a little bit of movement to hit the forehand might have been more effective, but she has succumbed to the inevitable pressure that you know you're going to get from a player of Dede de Groot's stature, her achievements. So important not to play the stats, not to play the honour roll that accompanies a player like de Groot. Play each point on its merits. Ignore who you are playing, but so much easier said than done.
Adele's been in touch with us. Celebrity listeners everywhere.
I mean, I love your work. Excellent voice. You probably hear that all the time. Imagine how annoying that
is. I'm sorry,
Adele. You're called Adele.
I am sorry.
That's all anyone's ever going to say to you. Sorry, Adele. We went for the cheap gags, which is most unlike us, as you know, here at Radio Roland Garros.
This is Adele Lejeune who's been in touch. Lovely email. Appreciating the fact that we're covering this particular final. We wouldn't miss it for the world. And our intention on Radio Roland Garros is to treat every match equally, because they are just as important to the people involved. And we have one of the all-time greats in front of us. We mentioned the record of de Groot. It's quite extraordinary. She is only 27 years of age. One can only wonder how many slams she's going to end up with. Backhand down the middle of the court from Zhu. Sliced backhand from de Groot, who then had to change her position very quickly to get the backhand back across court. Now in comes Zhu, and she's managed to stave off one passing shot on the volley. She can't save the second one, though. It's aggressive play from Zhu coming in, and she managed to repel the first approach, the first pass, but she couldn't stop the second one.
No, I think the issue was that she guessed wrong there. De Groot made the pass an easy one for de Groot.
Now she's playing a forehand to the forehand side of de Groot. Forehand to forehand, high looping ball. De Groot just changes her position, hammers it back down the middle of the court, flattening it out as much as possible. Some slice on the backhand from Zhu. The double bounce and then the backhand cross court from Dida de Groot. And that leads to an error from the racket of Zhu.
Well, de Groot's backhand is really doing a lot of damage here. She generates an enormous amount of power. If you think about the fact that all of that power is coming from the upper body with these players, and in a lot of cases, depending on the disability, players don't have the full use of their abdominal muscles and their core strength. So to be able to generate that much heat on the ball is a phenomenal athleticism.
Well, a double fault from de Groot, her third of the contest, means that she's now serving at 3-2, 30-15. Bright sunshine on court Philippe Chatrier. What a terrific return that is from Zhu.
Almost didn't have to move there, did she? Just a casual reply. Casual but incredibly effective from the Chinese player.
and from 30 love. She's got De Groot back to 30 all. She's replying with a deep backhand, forehand half volley from De Groot, who's watching a high ball now on her forehand side. She goes cross court and she's put that wide.
Good play from Zhu. The high ball being really effective there. You can see why it would be. As we said, the ball can kick up on a clay court and fly up. And in wheelchair tennis, that's going to be particularly effective, isn't it?
So, a chance for Zhu to level things up here. First serve misses by a considerable distance. Second serve is onto the backhand. High backhand down the middle of the court from De Groot. Slice from Zhu. Double bounce before De Groot gets that back. And oh, not for the first time. She gets the ball going directly at her opponent, bouncing up awkwardly. And there was nothing that the Chinese player could do about it.
Now, you think about how much, when we watch able-bodied tennis, as we have done so much of in the last week and a half, you think about how much lateral movement is important, side to side. These players do not have that option a lot of the time.
That's a miss hit, though, with a plus one from De Groot. It was a deep return. Backhand goes long. Another breakback chance. De Groot has won all four of their previous clay court meetings, most recently just a few weeks ago in Rome, where she cruised through 6-2, 6-1. So already this is a much better performance as far as Zhu is concerned. Now a second serve to perhaps try an attack. She's looking to do just that with a... Well, she went for it, but the forehand returns long.
Well, that's a missed opportunity. And we know with De Groot, you're not going to get that many chances to try and make inroads.
You could certainly argue that this is De Groot's least favourite surface. I'll explain why in just a moment, as there's another good return and it's blocked wide on the backhand from De Groot. Just based on the fact, Lady E, that she's only won four Roland Garros titles, whereas she has six in Australia, six at the US Open and five at Wimbledon. I mean, she's really struggling on the clay, isn't she?
Yeah, she needs to up her game, doesn't she?
Forehand to the backhand of the left-handed Chinese player. There's a high, lofted ball from De Groot, but it goes long, and Zhu has broken back. 26 minutes on the clock. It's intriguing. It's three games apiece.
It's impressive from Zhu, isn't it? As we said, she's not playing the reputation. She's not playing the honour roll. She's playing the player, and she's playing each ball on its merits, and that is allowing her to cause De Groot problems here. Now, it's whether you can keep up that level of play and keep a player of De Groot's abilities at bay.
My favourite person's just got in touch with us. As the return from De Groot goes into the net, it's Happy Me, who says, Lady E is right, Marcus, you're such a trooper. Hope your man flu goes away and you feel better soon. Seriously, you guys do such long hours, work so hard. It's not surprising you don't feel so good. We appreciate your superhuman efforts. Well, that's very kind of you.
We're just having that printed, framed, yes, and given to the Empress.
Yes. Well, the hours are long, but it's, as I think we've mentioned several times, I think for many of us, two of the best weeks of the year. It's a double fault from Zhu, so 3-all, 15-all. The weather, obviously, in week one made it a bit more of a challenge, but we've had some fantastic matches, lots of stories. Later today, we'll see if Jasmine Paolini can pull off one of the biggest shocks ever at Roland Garros and stop Iga Świątek in her shoes. That, of course, is what Zhu is trying to do today. Set the ball in motion in terms of creating shocks come finals weekend at Roland Garros. And she's giving a good account of herself at the moment. Nothing between these two players at 3-all, 15-all. Onto the forehand from Zhu, an off forehand to the forehand side of De Groot, and now an off forehand again. And that's clever. That's really clever, because Zhu was shaping up to go across court. That's where De Groot was heading. But she went with the off forehand, and it was a clean winner.
Maybe Zhu can give Jasmina Paolini just a little bit of inspiration, because it's not a dissimilar challenge facing De Groot on this court as facing Świątek, in terms of that point I was making earlier about not playing the honour roll. Świątek, of course, has just been utterly unstoppable here. But she did very nearly go out of the tournament in the second round. Granted, it was against a four-time Grand Slam champion, but she escaped by the skin of her teeth. Yeah. So if you've got thoughts about that match, what Paolini needs to do, can Paolini cause an upset? How do you see that match playing out? Let us know at @radio_RG on Twitter. Email frenchopenradio@fft.fr. About this match, of course, what do you think Ju needs to do? How much is self-belief a factor today, both in this match and, of course, in that women's final?
Well, the backhand return's gone wide from De Groot, so Ju's got an opportunity here at 40-15 to go back in front. Just taking her time. Now she's ready. And she goes long. And I think out of the corner of her eye, she might have just seen De Groot coming forward with intent, sensing perhaps a little vulnerability, particularly with the toss-up. And now, unfortunately, the ball has that she was bouncing has just dropped away. So she has to get another one.
Little flurry of ball kids emerging from the sidelines.
They are keen. Second serve is returned awkwardly on the forehand by De Groot. Has to go across again. Shortish ball that Ju might be able to attack. She's gone with that off forehand that she loves. It's another winner. It's another game for the underdog.
Yeah, we've seen a few of those off forehands. It's clearly a shot that she, well, it's incredibly effective because it gives your opponent so much court to cover. It's always moving away from De Groot. But it is a favoured shot, and I think De Groot perhaps has a puzzle to just try and make sure that Ju doesn't have the opportunity to create a pattern of play where she can finish with that shot, because it is pretty devastating.
Right, some updates for you on Court Suzanne Longlin, Tatiana Golova and Sebastian Grosjean up against Daniela Handzukova and Cedric Pioline. Well, it's tight in the first set. Golova and Grosjean are serving to stay in it at 4-5 deuce. That is on Longlin, on Simone Mathieu. The girls' singles final, the old Czech affair, sees Tereza Valentova serving for the first set. She's got a set point, in fact, 5-3, 40-30, against the number three seed, Laura Sampson. And on court 14, the men's wheelchair final, well, no surprise, I have to say, to see Tokita Oda in control of that one. Gustavo Fernandez is serving at 2-4, and Oda has a point for a double break in the first set there. And on court 13, Guy Sasson and Sam Schroeder in the quad final. And Sasson's made the brighter start. He leads by 4-2. Here, De Groot serving at 3-4. She went to break down early on and got the break back. Looked to be taking control. But Ju just thwarted her momentum to a degree and has also taken advantage of a few errors, not least double faults. And we've just seen a fourth one of those from Dida De Groot. She serves down the middle and just misses. So good to see a really decent-sized crowd in for this match. Oh, the second serve clips the top of the tape and goes long, so it's another double fault, and it's love 30. Gigi and Lady E mentioned that the lower box area is completely full, and now some other spectators are starting to fill up the seats just behind those as well. Off forehand return, and the backhand half volley is into the net. Really good deep return of serve, and in the blink of an eye, thanks to two double faults and a very good return, Ju has got a chance to break, which would then enable her to serve for the set. Forehand return. Oh, it's a cross court and just wide. The ball landed. I waited to hear if there was going to be a call for a moment. I didn't think there was going to be one. Late call, correct call. One break point saved.
She's done a very, very, very good job of keeping the ball deep, and she did aim to do that on that return. Not much in that. Oh, and a very, very long first serve from De Groot there. She seems to be feeling the pressure a little bit from
Definitely.
Ju.
Yeah.
Two double faults in this game, of course.
That was close to being another one. The serve was right on the service line. Now she's playing a backhand to the forehand side of Ju, who takes the pace off it. Oh, De Groot comes in, gets a lucky little net call, but she's going to be passed anyway. The net cord, of course, took the pace off the ball. That presented an extra challenge for Zhen Zhenzhu, but she was up to it. There was a gap for her to pass the Dutch genius, and she did that. She breaks, and she is leading by 5-3.
Well, it was also, I think it was somewhat accidental, but there was a great drop shot in the middle of that rally from Zhu. I think she actually slightly mishit the ball, so it landed very, very short. De Groot somehow managing to get to it. Of course, as Gigi was saying at the top of the match, you can have two bounces of the ball in wheelchair and quad tennis.
Now, can she take advantage? Can she close out this first set? Well, her first serve is long.
De Groot poised like a racer.
Wheels in to return on the forehand. Deep, lofted, perfect return.
Now, we should just briefly explain, when we talk about quad tennis, what the difference is between wheelchair tennis and quad tennis. Now, they're all wheelchair sports, but in wheelchair tennis, it's for athletes with a permanent impairment of both or of one or both legs. And in quad tennis, it's three or more limbs, basically. So quad players might have upper body impairments as well. And within that spectrum, there's a lot of different impairments that athletes have to deal with. I mentioned the issue of not having core muscles to work with, which some wheelchair players have to overcome. Lucy Shuker of Great Britain is a good example of that.
Slice backhand return deep to the backhand wing of Zhu, who's now got a race. Well, she's not going to get there. She had to race across onto her backhand side. It was a really good shot down the line from De Groot. And this opportunity to close out the first set is, well, it's not gone yet, but it's being taken away gradually by De Groot. It's got to love 30. Both players struggling on their serve today. That's a decent first serve, though, and the backhand return is into the net. 120 kilometres an hour, the speed of that serve. And the backhand return had no height. 15-30. Another apology. Toss-up. Not to the Chinese player's liking. She likes that one, though. And that's a really good serve, swinging away from De Groot's backhand. She couldn't control the return from love 30 back to 30 all, and now just 2 points away from surprising everybody, I think, and winning this first set. 13th meeting between them. The head-to-head record's actually 8-4, so there is proof that Zhu knows what to do, but she's won only one of the last 9 encounters between the two. There's a deep return. It's hammered back into play from an awkward height by Zhu. Now she's playing a slice backhand. Slice drop shot, beautifully done from De Groot. She realised her opponent was behind her baseline and she played the most delightful little backhand drop shot.
Well, tactically very, very astute, as you can imagine, De Groot. You don't get the kind of records that she's compiled without having that tennis brain and that nous.
So, are we poised for the fourth break of this contest? 3-5, 40-30. 4 bounces of the ball. Zhu's ready, up it goes. And she serves to the forehand, deep return, bounced very high. Clever return straight back at the server, knowing the ball's going to rear up a little bit. And for about the third time, I think, Zhu found herself in that awkward position with a ball that she just couldn't control into the net. So De Groot breaks back. And I wonder if that might prove to be a significant moment, Lady E.
Well, it does feel like it, doesn't it? It's been such an effective tactic for De Groot, going back almost straight at her opponent and, as you said, making the ball kick up. And that's something that Zhu is going to have to work on to counter. Just going back to that conversation about the difference between quad tennis and wheelchair tennis. In quad tennis, as I said, the impairments tend to be multiple and extensive. You've got some incredible stories of players overcoming that to become multiple Grand Slam champions. There's a player called Nick Taylor who had a phenomenally successful wheelchair, quad tennis and Paralympic career, used to serve with his foot, had to toss the ball up with his foot. So an incredible, incredible inspirational stories in terms of people focusing on what they can do and not on what they can't do. I mean, David Wagner, arguably one of the greatest quad wheelchair players of all time, only 30% feeling in his racket hand. So he has to actually tape the racket to his hand in order to play. And this is somebody who was utterly unbeatable in his heyday in quad tennis. So it's an incredible sport for so many reasons.
It really is. Now, there's a query from Ju. She thinks that the serve from De Groot was out. It was an ace, and I don't think the umpire is going to overrule it, no. Ju must put up with that, an ace with the first point of the 10th game of this set. 4-5 and now 15-love for De Groot, who's not been at her best yet, but is hanging in there, misses her first serve. Second serve goes to the forehand of the Chinese player. Very, very good return again. Power, position, and a stretch on the backhand side from De Groot. Couldn't control the ball, couldn't bring it back into the court. 15-all. A few birds fluttering about the place.
The pigeons are back, thank goodness. Marcus's favourite pigeons.
Oh, I love those pigeons. Now, there's a elegant backhand down the middle of the court from De Groot. She's slicing this one to the slice backhand of... Oh, of Ju, who gets a little extra purchase out of that ground stroke. It looked initially as though De Groot would be able to cover it, but she couldn't. Ball just flew away from her. So 15-30, and of course, De Groot is serving to stay in the set. Pressure's still on her. Forehand returns into the net.
As we said, you're going to get precious few opportunities against De Groot, and Ju has been in a position to win this first set. So she's allowed it to slip through her fingers. De Groot obviously had a lot to do with that.
Potentially, she's still only 2 points away from winning it. It's a very high return. The forehand on the half volley is long from De Groot, and here is a set point for Zhen Ju. Bearing in mind how much De Groot has struggled on her serve, I think she's going to fancy her chances here. Forehand return down the middle of the court to the sliced backhand of De Groot. And now she's going to play another lofted backhand to the backhand side of the Chinese player. Stronger forehands now from both players, flattened out by Ju. Then the loft again from De Groot. Similar shot from De Groot. One of the longest rallies of the contest so far, and one of the most important, with a set point up for grabs, and it's De Groot who eventually wears down her opponent, pushed her out on a forehand side, and then crunched a forehand across court into the open space, and it's back to juice.
It's a battle, this first set, isn't it? It's a tussle, as you'd expect, with two very, very high-class players. De Groot, the best player of her generation, but you very much challenging the Dutch multiple Grand Slam champion.
Forehand return from Ju. Slice on the backhand. This is a short ball, though, that surely the Chinese player can put away. And she does. Very short from De Groot. That was an open invitation. And Ju said, thank you very much.
Ju sensibly, because she had plenty of time on the ball there, just taking her time, picking her spot.
Set point number two, and the first serve is into the net. Second serve to the forehand, deep return, backhand is high, it's right inside the baseline, so the point continues. Another high ball from Ju, both players getting plenty of depth, and now she's going again to try and push De Groot back as much as she can. High ball on the backhand side from the Dutch player. Now she's got a slightly shorter one. Again, she's slicing down the line to the backhand of Ju, who has put it long, and there's another chance that comes and goes for the underdog.
Well, both players just trying to get lots of loft on the ball, make it difficult, make the ball bounce up high off the clay courts. De Groot just winning the battle of wills there as much as anything. Drawing the error, didn't miss by much. Could have been a millimetre, could have been a mile.
So it's Juice again. The backhand return is miss hit. And you just feel that if De Groot comes through this game unscathed, having saved two set points, that we may see a very different Dutch player from this moment on. Having said that, she's missed her first serve again. And she's double faulted again.
We saw that in her previous service game, didn't we? That the serve can be vulnerable. She does get a little bit of double faultitis, which is a very serious condition. I've had it. Yeah. It's even more serious than your cold.
No, nothing's more serious than my cold. That's her sixth double fault, by the way. If I could only describe the full symptoms of my cold, lady.
It's okay. It's fine.
Oh, I'll tell you all about them. It's another double fault. Another one. A seventh second in this game. And that brings up a third set point for Zhen Zhen Zhu. She really has got to seize her chance here, because you feel as though De Groot's only going to get better as this match develops. First serve into the net. Set point number three on a second serve. It's another double fault, would you believe it? And Dida De Groot hands the first set to Zhen Zhen Zhu on a silver platter. Eight double faults in that set from the great Dutch player, including a whole host of them in that last service game. So, first final of the day on court, Philippe Chatrier. And a surprise could be in the offing, Eleanor Preston.
Certainly could be. And the crowd starting to fill up here on court, Philippe Chatrier. That's going to lift the atmosphere up a notch. As we said when we first came on court here this morning, the organisers have allowed the public to come in and just start filling up from the expensive seats, those courtside seats, back. And it's created this wonderful intimacy here on this what would normally be a kind of cavernous court on court Philippe Chatrier. It's a wonderful idea, and more people are starting to join in, and they could see an upset. They could see what would actually be a moment in tennis history for this incredible Grand Slam winning streak that Didier De Groot has built up to be broken. Well, that would send shockwaves, I think, through wheelchair tennis.
Yeah, well, just by reaching the final, Zhu's recorded her best Grand Slam performance. Prior to this, her best result at the Slams was reaching the semi-finals on her Grand Slam debut, in fact, at the Australian Open in 2020.
The back of that win over De Groot.
Yes, of course. Playing Roland Garros for the third time. It's her 10th Slam appearance overall. And interestingly, she lost in the first round on both of her previous appearances here in 2022 and 2023, so what a dramatic improvement over the course of the past 12 months. 28 singles titles altogether, most recently at the Open de Vendée in 2023. She also has 41 doubles titles, and I mentioned the extraordinary stats surrounding De Groot on the singles front with 87 titles, 21 slams, and she has also got 71 doubles titles. It's ridiculous.
He's only 71. No. I mean, it's pretty poor work from De Groot there. She needs to up her game. Now, they have swept the court. The wonderful grounds team here have been very busy at that end of that first set. So they've come out with almost like a flat rectangle of chainmail, which gets dragged around the court just to clean all of the marks up. So all of our spirograph circles have gone. They'll be replaced very, very soon.
They will. I can be sure of that.
So much movement involved. As I said, because players can't move from side to side to hit the ball, every time they get into position, it involves doing a full circle around.
First point of the second set goes the way of De Groot, forehand into the net from Zhu. Interestingly, on court, Suzanne Longlin. Now, of course, we know that Gigi Salmon is Daniela Hanchakova's coach. First set of that Legends match, went to Hanjakova and Pirlin by 6-4. I think Gigi then went on court and gave both players a little bit of a pep talk. End result, they're 5-1 down in the second set.
Well, the magic touch of the Empress continues.
So that one looks like it's going to go to a decider. Bright sunshine here on Chatrier. At the moment, the group would be absolutely thrilled to get this one into a decider after a most uncharacteristic